This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Hi, folks, with Hugh Welks, comedian, joining three people who need no introduction. Emma, Daniel, Rupert.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey.
Good morning. Daniel, over here.
Hello.
I have other questions for the rest of you, but everyone's been. I'm just going to start right with this. Everyone's been asking you, I know, through the making of this about the kiss.
Okay.
But my question to you is, heck, you've already been naked on stage. How does that compare? Compare the two. And
well,
which came first?
I did the kiss first, and I think the reason that it wasn't a problem or a sort of worry in the slightest was that in the back of my mind I was thinking I'll be naked on stage in 6 months. I've got to get over this, because if that's a worry, then the whole new blinding horses would be an even greater worry. The kiss was a lot. It was sort of more of a big deal than perhaps, everyone sort of assumes it's a really big sort of moment. But it's sort of just like doing any other scene, really, which is very disappointing for people to hear, I know. But that's unfortunately how it was.
So, Daniel, rebellion against the system is like a big issue in this movie. And
yeah.
I was wondering, I know that I have a lot of money and all of you because of the movies, but then I read that you're like a big punk rock fan, and it seems that you like the real punk rock. So these kind of bands are anti-system. So I don't know if you can be. You have some kind of relation now to the fact that you're playing a revolutionary guy in a movie, and how it worked for you.
Yeah, I mean, I love doing all that stuff to do with Harry in this film because it was David kept referring to it as being Dumbledore's army as being like the French Resistance, which was a metaphor that really appealed to me. And so it was. And also Harry as a leader and a teacher was able to sort of show off his wizarding skills, and that showing off stuff was just, I don't know, that was really, really fun to do. Yeah, I don't think I brought a tremendous amount of punk music into those scenes. I don't know, it just didn't seem to require it. I think I was mainly listening to Radiohead for Harry in this film. Somebody did ask me yesterday if there was one album that could be Harry's soundtrack during this movie. I think it would be OK Computer by Radiohead, which I think tells you all you need to know about his character.
I just noticed, Rupert, your shirt. I'm just wondering, you guys, after what we saw in Glasgow last week and in London, how has that affected you? I mean, is it London a scarier place to walk around now, or do you just kind of take it as usual? And the second part of the question is, will you be watching Beckham's debut in 2 weeks here in LA?
Oh, right. Is he starting? Oh, right. Yes, then yes. I don't know. I mean, I think, with regards to, I think that's what's remarkable and sort of defines the English spirit is the fact that everyone was asked about. You saw all these people being interviewed about directly after the car bombs and the attack in Glasgow, and they were all just like, oh no, it's fine, we're just going to carry on, just not let it bother us, and that's sort of it, I suppose. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no, we got downside.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, after watching David Beckham and his preview in LA Galaxy, yeah, definitely, I think. Poor guy, got quite a lot of pressure on him, hasn't he?
to save football.
Yeah, literally, to save LA Galaxy. So, he's a bit of a hero, so I'm sure he'll pull it off for you guys.
Could all three of you talk about growing up over the course of these five films?
It's put in a bit of a new context when you're doing it on screen. I remember like, especially with the earlier films, like, Dan the Reaper would grow, like, a couple of inches, like, by the end of shooting because it was so long, or by the time the film was released, and that was kind of crazy. And I remember on the second one, I was still losing teeth. So that was interesting. Like, one scene I'd kind of have, like, you know, full set, and then, you know, trying to, like, cover all of that
Not a full set of teeth. It was one tooth. It wasn't, like, the whole mouth.
No, I was saying I had a full set of teeth, and then I'd, like, lose them.
Oh, right, okay, sorry, I thought you said I had a full set of teeth.
God, no! Oh my god, no!
I was thinking, I just want to clarify that.
No, I don't wear false teeth. Yeah. God,
So sorry.
it was kind of a weird experience, like, trying to, like, make the whole growing up process kind of run smoothly. We kind of had to do it without anyone realising. So it was, yeah, but it's, you know, I don't know, we don't really think about it. Everyone always asks this question, and yeah. It's like, is it really hard growing up on screen? And I'm just like, well, I've never grown up any other way, so I don't know, it's kind of the way it's always been, and you just kind of deal with it, I guess. And we've been doing it since we were so young, so you kind of, I can't really remember what life was like before I was in these films, so I don't know, it's just the way it is.
Yeah, for me, it just feels like it's just been one long experience, really, because it doesn't really feel like that long. It's only when you look back on, like, the first ones you really sort of realise how much we've...
Yeah.
And, no, it's been really fun. I've enjoyed sort of every moment of it, so it's been really cool.
I mean, I think it's just... I don't think you realise when you're growing up. I think it's just one of the things that sort of just happens to you, and then somebody shows you a photograph of yourself when you were 10 and you recoil in horror. I mean, to us, of course, as Emma was saying, you know, we've just grown up. We don't think ourselves as having grown up on screen. It's been great. It's been really good fun. And, you know, we've met, you know, I mean, we've met some of the people, you know, who we're really, really good friends with through these films, who we probably wouldn't have had the chance to meet had we not done them. So it's been fantastic.
Right after the junket, you guys are have a big ceremony in Hollywood, and I'm just wondering, how is it going to feel to have your prints there? And from here on, for another 100 years, people are going to see your footprints and your handprints. How does that feel for the three of you guys?
I was amazed they asked us. Yeah. I was like, wow, I couldn't believe it. Like, that's such a big deal. I was really, really flattered, and it's a really, I mean, it's just amazing to be doing it. Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, but when you see those other names, I think we all were like,
really? Are you sure? Really?
I don't know. It's amazing. It's absolutely, it's just fantastic. But yeah, I think we're all just a little bit in shock that we've been asked so young.
Yeah, it's really cool.
You know, it's amazing. Yeah.
Daniel, does taking on something like Equus, is there a conscious decision on your part to want to prove to yourself as well as to audiences that there is well and truly life after Potter, and you look that far ahead in terms of your career, or you don't give it much thought?
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, no, I do give it a lot of thought. Actually, that question was asked to me in a rather more brutal way the other day. They actually, I think what they meant to say was, is there life for you after Harry Potter? But what they said was, will you live after Harry Potter on the red carpet? Which was sort of slightly, I don't know what they're planning for me after the seventh film. Potter's never something I would want to distance myself from, because I'm incredibly proud of it, and it's given me the most amazing opportunities, and I've met some of the most fantastic people and got to work with these brilliant actors. But I certainly, you know, obviously want to establish myself as an actor in my own right, as well as just, rather than being just the actor who plays Harry Potter. So it was, and as you say, it's just as much, if not more, to prove to myself that I can do it than to be able to prove it to the audience, certainly. Because there will always be people who see us as our, you know, respective characters, no matter what we do, but ultimately that's more their problem than ours, because they are not the people who are going to be stopping us from doing other different things.
Over the years, all three of you have talked about fan encounters. but I'm not sure how many opportunities you've had to work with a fan. And I'm talking about Ivana Lynch and her experience of just being such a lover of the books that she came out for the open call and then got the part. What was her, did you talk to her or get a sense of her reaction to being there on the Hogwarts set and being part of it?
It's really funny. I guess, like, fifth time round, Dan, Rupert and I were just kind of... It's quite a surreal experience working at Leaves and Studios. You know, you'll be going along on your... The studio is so big, we have, like, little golf buggies together. So you probably know that, because you've been asked to do something, so I'm just going to shut up. Anyway, yeah, we're going on our golf buggies, and, like, they'll just be, like... I mean, we've had, like, a giraffe, we've had so many crazy animals, maybe not a giraffe, but we've had, like, goats, we've had bats.
We have had goats and bats, armadillos,
yeah. We've had, like, I swear, you'll be going past, and just like, oh, yeah, yeah, and then we're kind of just, like, past the stage of really, like, I don't know, it doesn't really affect us, like, no. A giraffe could go by and I wouldn't care. Like,
sorry, yeah. They're obviously happy. We've obviously been so adjusted to it, we've not even noticed.
So anyway, the point is that when you step onto, like, these amazing sets, like, we kind of take it for granted at this point. And when you see Ivana Lynch's face every time she steps on a set, it kind of makes you, it kind of humbles you again. And it, like, it makes you realise just how amazing the whole experience is. And it stops you from getting, like,
blasé.
And taking it for granted. And, like, it was really nice to have someone who's so, like, genuinely just completely excited and just sort of in ecstasy every time she saw something new. It was really nice.
We did have one moment though when it was very, very hard to sort of present an idea to David Yates if Ivana was standing next to you, because if you said something and it was even slightly wrong from the technicality of the book, and you would be in deep trouble. So you'd sort of have to be quite careful and really, you know, whenever I talked about the wording of the prophecy and she was there, I'd just be like, Christ, where's the book? I need to... But no, it was fantastic to have Ivana around, because she is such a massive fan of the books and the films. So, it was lovely to have that enthusiasm.
Really. I remember, actually, after I watched the film, the person that I was most nervous about finding out their opinion was Ivana. I went up to her and I was just like, what did you think? I was really, really scared.
Yeah.
And she loved it. So I was like, okay, as long as she loves it, we're good. We're all good. It's good.
Danielle, you play, I guess, such a dark role in this. Was there any... What place did you go that you could come out with such a characterization? And also, did he have certain ideas about this role that he shared with you on how to be so dark?
I mean, I think... I don't know. I think everybody's got that side of them which they can draw upon when they have to, if they're trying to act it. So, I think David was fantastic. I think the two people in this film that were the most brilliant, were obviously David Yates, was just incredible throughout the film. And what was remarkable about David was that he had the same enthusiasm on the last day of filming as he did on the first, which on a 10-month shoot is quite an achievement. So, you know, working with David was fantastic, and he absolutely... I can't think of sort of specific notes that he gave me in terms of Harry's darkness. I just remember him coming up with very, very real, accurate direction the whole time. I mean, there was one scene very early on when in the film where Harry's asleep and he's having nightmares, and then he wakes up suddenly, and I was doing a lot of that sort of movie time, sort of waking up, and David just says... Dan, no one does that. Just open your eyes. you're absolutely right. No one does. It's that thing you do see in films a lot of the time when people are lying straight down in bed and then they suddenly bolt upright. If you try and do that, it's incredibly difficult to do, let alone when you're half asleep. But, working with David and also working with Gary Oldman in terms of the scenes concerning his death in the film... sort of spoil that for anybody. But in terms of those, you all read it. But in terms of those scenes, you know, he was just a fantastic person to be around, and was really, there was the one bizarre bit where he said to me, Dan, literally the moment of his death and my immediate reaction to it, we were filming, and he said, Dan, in this next one, do you mind if I do something a little more physical? And I was thinking, maybe he's going to give me a hug or something like that. And he grabbed me and shook me violently for 30 seconds while screaming at me. And then he sort of backed away slowly. And so you suddenly regress, and I just started to cry. And it was this really weird thing, but he obviously knew it would work. I don't know if he's done it to people in the past, but certainly, you know, it worked then. And you know, he was amazing, yes. That was a very, very long answer, I'm sorry.
Hi, in the back. The new Harry Potter, or there's a new book coming out very shortly. I'm wondering, do you have any inside track to seeing it or reading it? And how did the book releases affect you guys personally?
I think, yeah, it's quite exciting. I mean, particularly this one, because there's so much sort of hype about it, and sort of everyone's got their own little theory of who's going to die as well. That's the big question. And I don't know, really. I'm really looking forward to it.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to die?
I think it could be you, actually.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, I do think, absolutely, there's always going to be that hype around the book. But the thing is, you know, with the books and the films, it's not just hype. It's deserved, because they do get better and better and more exciting. I mean, my favourite book is The Fifth, and, you know, And my favourite film is The Fifth as well. And, you know, to be able to say that, you know, five movies into a franchise is, I suppose, quite rare. Mm. But also, I think, you know, I don't know how the book releases affect us. I think we're just, you know, you're very, very anxious about what's going to happen. But I don't think we get totally distressed by it, do we? Really?
No.
I get a bit distressed.
Do you?
I get a bit distressed. I really I remember sitting in this interview, and I've always just been convinced that Hermione's going to make it. And apparently this hacker has been claiming that she's going to die. And this interviewer sat down, and she's like, well, there's this hacker that's claiming that this is what's going to happen, and she's not going to make it, and she's the one. And I was just like, no. You don't understand. You know, she's meant to be with Ron, and she's meant to, like, I just had all these views in my head about what was going to happen, and it was just all just ruined. It was horrible. So, but I guess from an acting point of view, I mean, it would be good to have like a death scene, or if I had to die, that would kind of be a challenge, I guess. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we obviously have like hugely invested interests, but I think we're also like really big fans ourselves. So
yeah, exactly. We are looking forward to finding out with the rest of the world as well. But we certainly don't get any inside information.
Yeah. No. Sorry.
No, we don't. You know, that would. I mean, apparently I did, when I saw the joke at the premiere the other day, I just, you know, said how many people worldwide have read the book. And, you know, considering that at this point it's under 2 weeks before its release, and under 10 people have read it still, which is pretty incredible. But you can imagine being one of those people. How fantastic would that be? My God.
Everybody, this one you actually get to get together and kind of kick some butt for a change. And how much fun was it, I guess, reading the book and then reading the script and knowing, yeah, we're going to get together, this wandage is going to really do something. was it really fun to film those battle scenes, or know you'd be able to get together and do some magic?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, Ron and Hermione kind of took a bit of a back seat on the last one, because kind of watching Harry do all the tasks and stuff. So it felt really nice to kind of be back in the action again. And we had, I mean, nothing major. We had a couple of stunts to do, kind of a couple of harnesses and that sort of thing, which was really fun. And we actually had a dance choreographer in to, all the different spells had different choreographed, kind of like specific movements that went with them. And so we had a couple of classes like that, which was really good fun. And I think this is the first one that you really see kind of like the craft behind magic, if that makes sense. You kind of see like the craftsmanship, or kind of like...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, they look really impressive. I think, you know, that, especially that scene at the end between Dumbledore and Voldemort, it's really...
Oh, yeah, that's
was
amazing.
It fun for you guys, too?
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. Was there anything hard about it?
I found the one dance lessons quite tricky, actually. I was getting really frustrated with myself when I couldn't get the moves right. It was good. It was really, I think that was a brilliant idea that David had, was to actually make it so that, whereas before it's just been sort of point at something, say the word. Now he was starting to build that sort of art, just to show a distinction, because, like, when it came to the film, we didn't really do a lot of the stuff that we learned in the one, but all the adults were. And it just made it so that there was actually a distinction between the adults and the young kids in terms of the skill. But yeah, no, it was good. It was fun. I mean, one of my favourite lines in the film is when Gary says, "Get away from my godson," and then punches Jason Isaacs in the head. I think that's such a... Just like... And me and Gary, we were Butch and Sundance on that day. You know, it was just... It was fantastic. So, yeah, no, I had a lot of fun, definitely.
Hi, for the three of you...
Oh, I think we're just going to get...
Oh, yeah, it's similar to Emma, really. In the last one, Ron's been a bit of a wimp and sort of stayed away from the sort of the action side. This time it was quite cool that he got to be a bit tougher and got to fight, so it's good fun, right?
Yeah, hi. For the three of you going to the ceremony that you're going to go in an hour, who do you admire there? What are your favorite actors that have your food and hands in the theater? Do you have your own one? Is the one that you're going to reproduce in the cement? And what do you like about Los Angeles? You enjoyed yesterday the premiere. I don't know if the reception is any different to the other premieres that you have had already. So if you could address these three issues, please.
You asked four questions in one breath. That's incredible. I think, well, John Wayne's there. So that's pretty cool. You know, that's awesome. There's my favourite John Wayne line. It's a really early John Wayne movie, and it was obviously improvised, because it wasn't... Nobody could have scripted this. As he walks out of a saloon, I suppose, because they were saloons, they're not bars, and he walks out, and he's walking through the square, and he's quite young, and there are all these birds in this sort of, in this square, and he walks in, and they all flutter away, and he goes, "Get out of my way, pigeon." which is just fantastic. But so if I can have my handprints next to that man, then that would be awesome.
I've got a question.
what do you think of LA?
Oh, LA is really cool, yeah. it's been really fun. I mean, it's just a really cool, it's really different to everywhere else. I really enjoy it, and it's been really, really good, yeah.
It's really funny. Like, there's loads of things that when I came the second time to LA, there are so many things I didn't know about it. Apparently, my dad went to like the tar pits yesterday, which I was just like, no, that's so weird. But
the tar pits.
It's this massive tar pit, which basically loads of like animals basically fell into.
Oh God, that's horrendous.
You can see all of their marks on the cement and stuff.
Right, animal preserving tar.
It's nice because we actually had like a day yesterday when I was able to actually like see some LA, which was really cool.
That's deeply disturbing.
It's not. It's really cool. It's like history. Like in a, you can see it.
Well, I was about to say that LA's very clean.
It's been really nice, and the reception that we had yesterday was amazing. Yeah, was nice. I've had like a really good time here, and everyone's been really friendly, and it's been really fun, and yeah, it's been really, really good, really good.
It is a strange town, I think. It's totally different from I think anything we've really experienced before, it's very spread out, and it's hard to sort of get my head round fully, really. It's just like nothing I've ever sort of nowhere I've ever been, really.
It's very distinctive.
Yes,
you know you're in LA, definitely.
Yes, certainly.
The weather's nice. Well, I think that we're all enjoying that.
That's such absolutely. It's the first thing you notice. Yeah, yeah. Actually, it's because it's warm coming from England where they've had like storms and things recently. Yeah.
First time one of the movies has been in IMAX, but it's the first time it's going to be 3D-ized. So have you guys gotten to see it in the 3D yet? And what do you think it's going to, if you haven't, what do you think it's going to be like to see it in that kind of a context?
I haven't seen it that, but I have heard about it. I think it'll be fantastic. It's going to be terrifying.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's scary enough as it is. Yeah. 3D, people will be like...
And also, there's one moment where Rafe, as Voldemort, sort of apparates, and he comes from the side of the screen, sort of pushes forward and suddenly appears. That's gonna Scar. That's going to be hysterical. It's great. Yeah, I've not seen it, though. No.
People will be absolutely jumping out of their suits. Mm-hmm. There's enough moments as it is where...
Would they have the glasses?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have the... Do they get,
that's the point of 3D, yeah.
I know, but I don't know. Maybe they give you a visor or something.
Visor?
Sort of all like the guy in Star Trek who had the thing. Yeah. Hello.
Let's say the three of you were going to write a personal ad to meet that special someone. What would each of your characters write in their ad?
Our characters?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hermione's quite serious. I think she takes everything a little bit too seriously sometimes. She's kind of really like... That's why I think that if Hermione and Ron do end up together, I think that'll be really good, because they're really different and they're really mismatched, but they kind of balance each other out and kind of complement each other like that. So I guess Hermione's ad would say someone to make her laugh. I don't know, just something like... I don't know, like a good kind of caring guy, I guess. Just someone who will kind of chill her out a bit.
I'm actually just thinking of the personal ad that you would write to Rupert. Not Rupert, to Ron. Sorry, that's not a story. I don't know what Harry's would be at all. Cursed male. Seeks. I don't know, uncursed female, I suppose. I'm not sure. Yeah.
All right, we've got
bookish 16-year-old seeks quirky redhead. There we go, that's the advert.
We've got time for one last question.
Okay, back here again. Actually, I had two quick questions for Rupert and for Emma. Rupert, in the sixth movie, Ron gets a girlfriend, correct? And so, did you learn anything from watching... Daniel and Emma, also there's a scene where your character says how cool it is, how exciting to break the rules, and I wanted to find out how that fits in your own life about breaking the rules.
Can I go first?
I don't know, it's going to be Ron does get a girlfriend in the next one, and I think it gets a little bit intense, so I don't know, it's going to be, I did a little kiss on, I did another film called Driving Lessons in England, there was a little kiss on that, and it was quite an uncomfortable experience, in this tiny set with all the crew watching, and I didn't really enjoy it too much, but we have to wait and see, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'm sorry to disappoint you, I'm deeply uncool, really. I really never break the rules. I'm kind of me as myself, just not... I don't know, I just never really have a problem with kind of... I don't know, I've never really... I mean, I'll definitely... I'm not scared to say what I think, or if I really disagree with something, then I'll say, but I'm not kind of like a born rebel. that wouldn't be a description of me. What was the other part of your question? It was like...
Well, if that is anything like you.
Yeah. It was fun to play her like that. Definitely. Really fun, and I think... I mean, the film's quite dark, and I think that kind of element kind of added some kind of light relief, because everyone was just kind of like, what is up with Hermione? What is going on?
It got a fantastic reaction yesterday.
Yeah, it was really nice. Like, in the cinema, that kind of got a big laugh, so I was quite chuffed with that. It's fun playing like that. I guess just, like, I was able to do things from such a young age that I never would have been able to do, like, all this travelling and being given all this responsibility and freedom and stuff, so I've never really had any, you know, sort of barriers to break, I guess. I've been able to kind of... I don't really have anything to kind of rebel against. I'm kind of free to do as I want to do. I'm quite lucky, really.
And on that note, I will say thank you to Rupert, Daniel, and Emma.
Thank you very much. I didn't use the microphone for the whole press conference. I think it's relative to the head.